Hello, it's me, Morgan Freeman. I hope you've been having a great week and a pleasant 2017. Oh boy, Trump's coming. So you probably like to cook. Yeah, so do I. That's why I'm fucking with Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Going to the grocery store fucking blows. Everyone's in the store walking around, causing a scene, taking too long. It's fucking bullshit. I'll take it from here, Morgan. Hey guys, it's Adam Ray for the Good Call Podcast with Josh Wolf and myself, Adam Ray. Look, Blue Apron, I'm telling you what they're doing right now. They're trying to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Josh and I, look, we both cook. Josh actually cooks way more than I do because he's got a great wife, and I think they cook together because it's fun. And I would like to do that, but I don't have a girl right now. So you order this stuff online, and they send you pre-proportioned, weighed out, everything you need, all the fresh ingredients for you to cook at home. Everything laid out the way that you want, so you don't have to go to the grocery store and spend all that time buying all that shit and weighing it out and make sure you got the right ingredients. All their stuff is reasonably raised animals. Their chicken, their beef, their pork. They've established partnerships, okay, with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S., which is why the food is so fucking delicious. And look, they ship the exact amount that you need, the exact ingredients, so that you're not wasting food, you know? They got these crazy-ass fucking spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes right now, pork chops and garlic piccata with scallion rice and spinach, mushroom and chipotle pepper enchiladas with lime sour cream. Those are some of the featured upcoming meals. For less than $10 a person per meal, Blue Apron allows you to cook at home the right way, the delicious way. Okay, they come with step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipes and instructions with the pre-proportioned ingredients. You cook this shit in 40 minutes or less. It's fucking great. I'm doing it. Josh is doing it. Look, it makes it fun to cook, and it's healthier, you know? So you want to do this? Well, check out this week's menu at blueapron.com. And if you use the promo code blueapron.com/goodcall, you get this week's menu, the first three meals, for free with free shipping. So that's a lot of free shit. You just get this great food sent to you, the first three meals with free shipping. That's fucking great. Try it out. You love it. You love how it feels and tastes. It's incredible. You're a home cook killer in the kitchen, baby. So don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/goodcall and start tasting and enjoying the better side of life. Right, Morgan? You got it, baby. Don't call me baby, man.
Well, you're safe, you're out. What are you talking about? I'm talking about sports and comedy. We're gonna cover it all. This is the Josh Wolf and Adam Ray Podcast. Good Call.
On today's Good Call Podcast, the Seahawks future. LeBron flops. Adam goes to Kansas City. Recess games, the most hated athlete of all time, and the dick kicker. And now here are your hosts, Josh Wolf and Adam Ray. Hey guys, we're back. So look, our schedules have been getting crazy, and it made it tough to get the pods in.
Yep.
I think we've been maybe on a 3-week
yes
hiatus. And then a lot of you have been tweeting and emailing us and asking, hey, why aren't you guys doing a show?
Where's a good call? Is it a coming back this year?
Yeah, that
I
guy.
I don't know what that guy is.
Who's that guy?
I don't know. I don't want to talk
Boy,
to him.
Boy, that's though. A separate podcast. Josh Wolf does voices that sound oddly racist. So we're back. We're going to do pods, though. Every other week instead of every week.
Every other week, we're going to do some podcasting.
Because it's just going to be better that way. So that we don't miss.
Yeah.
It's easier for our schedules. And look, that way we pack in 2 weeks worth of sports. Now that football's almost done anyway.
Yeah. And look, if something comes up and we're like, hey, man, we're going to squeeze another one in.
Yeah, if we can.
We will. But we guarantee.
Take that as a bonus.
Yeah, we're guaranteeing.
Always expect the cake. You might get the cherry on top.
I don't like fruit on my desserts.
Fair enough. Okay. You were telling me off air that you got into a spar fight.
Yeah, a spar fight. Yeah, I did.
Is that
spar
the name?
Spar fight? No, a bar fight. That sounds like a bar fight with somebody.
You sparred. Which
I sparred,
is like,
yeah.
Boxing, but like.
With a woman who was probably 124 pounds, and she hit me about 120 times in 3 minutes. One, I almost gassed out at 50 seconds. But she, dude, she punched me like 150 times. Not kidding. And we Facebook lived it. And my head was just like,
where did that happen at?
Down West LA, Santa Monica.
Well, you spar a lot.
No.
No. No. So that's why you got the shit kicked out of you.
I've never sparred in a boxing ring like that before. And she was probably 125 pounds. And she probably hit me in 3 minutes, 120, 130 times.
Jesus. Is that called a rousey?
I was so sore, dude. I was so sore the next day. And you know what's funny? There was a couple times when she had me up against the ropes. And she was just peppering me. And I didn't have the knowledge or the head movement or the foot, you know, the foot movement to know how to get out of there. So I called
the terms.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you just like, or the handshakies and the foot pivot twisters.
Or the eye twisters. Or
Jesus, you were unprepared on all cylinders.
I clubber langed her a couple times. I just picked her up and moved her. You know what? You know what? Like when Mr. T did to Rocky,
yeah.
He just moved him. And one time.
By the way, that's a real quick, like, generational.
Clubber Langer?
Well, that and also like Mr. T and Rocky, like those are your guys, like, you know.
Rocky's not your guy?
No.
Who's your guy over Rocky?
Fucking.
Careful now. Who? Wait.
I mean, who's my? I don't know. Fucking Suburban Commando, Hulk Hogan. I don't know.
Are you telling
who's
me
who's my miss? I'm
you Mr. don't relate to Rocky at all?
No, dude. I mean, I haven't. I'm not. You know, maybe I'm not a real.
Which Rockies have you seen?
The first, second, and the one before the most recent one, like number five.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was good. It was great.
You didn't see Drago? If he dies, you didn't see.
I can't remember. I don't know. Is
Dolph
it that
Lundgren?
Great of a story? It's great.
Come
huh?
on, are you kidding me?
My athletic movie guy. I guess it was inspiring. Was fuck growing up was shit. Dude, Rookie of the Year. Thomas Ian Nicholas, you know?
Fuck you yeah. saying that Rookie of the Year is even close to Rocky.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that was my.
Were you an
inspiring...
Angels in the Outfield guy?
Wow, huge, actually. Yeah.
yeah.
There you go.
That's, yeah. Mighty Ducks?
Big time. Yeah. See?
Listen, Rocky would.
Movies were different. You were at the time when that, like, when that hit, you were like, that was your Mighty Ducks for me. What I'm saying, like, where it hit you when you go, wow, man, I can do anything. Knuckle puck?
Listen to me right now.
Let's watch Rocky together.
Yeah, but I know you're not comparing Mighty Ducks to Rocky as a movie.
No, not
okay.
at all.
You're
mishearing me. That inspired me the way Rocky inspired you.
Got it.
Great.
I can't imagine.
Cool Runnings. We've talked about this. That was another one. But that's an ensemble piece.
Yeah. By the way, I saw it. Don't get it.
Great.
Moving on.
Hey, man. It wasn't for you to get.
Yeah, no, I guess not. Nope. I will tell you, though, I did like Mighty Ducks a lot.
Great.
But Rocky, there were so many just great just moments
yeah.
in that. And that's what I tried to do in this three-minute fight. Have you ever sparred before?
No.
I just want to tell you, 50 seconds in, I was like, oh, I'm going to throw up all over the ring.
Why?
The movements, gas.
It's just, yeah, it's a different exercise.
Dude, I feel like I'm in decent shape.
You're in great shape.
Gas.
But also, here's the thing. You're in great shape, like, if you were to, like, just look at you from across the way, right?
I'm in Hollywood shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't run up and down the basketball court four times a week, do you?
No, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, so you're...
If you spaced it out, I could do it four times a week. Oh, you mean four times...
Like playing a pickup game.
No,
like that's a different
that.
Shape.
No,
like,
yeah, no way.
There's
no.
guys who are quick fat, you know, like I was back in the day as a kid who were, or slim fat, and it's like, but they can fucking play all game,
yeah.
every game, 5 days a week, but they don't have wolf abs, you know?
I got to tell you, I think
or
that.
Or wabs.
Wabs? I like that.
Yeah.
I think that I'm in Hollywood shape. Like if you look at me, you're like, oh, he's in good shape. But if you wanted me to do something for more than 3 minutes in a row, I'd be fucked.
Yeah. Now, how do you even get to sparring? Who goes... Josh, you want to fight today?
I was talking shit with Freddie Prinze.
Right.
And he was like, why don't we get you in a ring? And I was like, I can put whoever you want in there.
So he fights or spars.
Freddie is a stud. Wow. Freddie will fuck you up. And pick your poison. You want him to box you? You want jiu-jitsu? What do you want? He will fuck you.
I might want him to make me, you know, swoon over him like he did in Summer Catch.
Ken, let me ask you something. Did you see Scooby-Doo?
No, but not because I didn't want to. It's just one of those ones that, look, there's a lot of things to look at, and it just never made it in front of my face.
Smoke a joint. Put it on that beautiful television you have right there.
Thank you.
It's the most underrated.
I love that. I'm already so excited. I'm probably going to do it tonight.
Yeah.
After my show tonight, I'm going to smoke some of this weed that Kyle Newacek.
Oh, dude, this looks so good.
God bless you. Kyle Newacek, director of Workaholics.
It smells amazing.
Yeah, he homegrown. And I haven't smoked in a week because I was sick from Vegas, and now now it's time, you know?
I brought this. This is an edible that's 1,000 milligrams. So I thought you and I could split it. What if we
1,000 milligrams?
If you ate 500 milligrams of weed right now, what would happen to your head? How would that go down for you?
I'd rearrange everything in my apartment. I'd throw a lot of stuff out and have some crazy like retrospective, like I need to go back to a simpler time when I didn't have anything. I didn't have beer bottles and recliner chairs and Rite Aid candles and three remotes that sometimes worked.
What? Would,
that's a lot of weed. I can't. That's
what
dude,
would
I,
my voice sound like coming out of my mouth if you had 500 milligrams? Would it still sound like this? Do things get distorted for you?
Well, I'd say I haven't fucked with an edible hard in a long time. Right. Like now, like there's my buddy's got these little cappuccino weed beans. Really? I gave one to Porter when we went to the Chiefs Steelers playoff game this weekend, which I'll tell you all about. And we got beans. He goes like Jack and the Beanstalk, and I go yeah, man. I go he got high, but I go let's go higher. And we were like that actually be a great like Jack and the Beanstalk weed beans, because remember he sold beans to get the cow, right?
That's really good. And Jack and the Beanstalk weed beans, let's go higher. That's the name of the...
Oh, my God, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Let's go higher is like...
It's a relatable story.
Yeah.
It's kind of inspiring, you know?
We should open up a weed
There's
store.
Friendship and, like, you know, he's overcoming obstacles. He was not somebody that would spar with Freddie Prinze. He was a meek little... Okay,
yeah.
He would probably get beaten in, you know, remember Samir the Queer back in elementary school days?
You can't say that anymore.
Right, but remember it?
Yes. You can say that. I'm kidding, by the way.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite games.
This kid would get probably laid out in that game. But guess what? He's climbing beanstalks and selling weed beans now.
Wait,
so he's just fine. By the way, that's what they say in his VH1, Where Are They Now? Remember the kid who got beaten down and Smear the Queer? Well, he's selling weed beans and climbing stocks and meeting giants and building friendships. He's all good. We'll be right back.
Wait, click. Wait, what? Smear the Queer, will you explain to me again? Because maybe I'm forgetting the rules.
It was a terrible game. I mean, it was all, and look, the
it was basically just go tackle somebody.
Yeah, the queer, you know, homoerotic aspect was not a factor. It was basically it was another tackle game, recess. It was quick. Dude, when you have like 10, 15 minute recesses, which I think most was consistent across the globe, right?
Yeah.
Like we had 2 15 minute recesses and then lunch was 30 minutes.
Yep.
So you would try to hurry up. No, maybe lunch was 45 minutes. So
because
you
recess was too quick to play kickball.
Yeah, for 15. So you play a quick game of basketball or something. You get out there. You try to pick teams actually before you went out is what we would do. So we try to like, you know, be discussing it during silent reading or whatever. Or even like, you know, call each other. Dude, I remember calling kids on the phone and being like and trying to organize the team. So it was like second recess. We're doing this, like meet out there. Just so you can maximize your 15 minutes.
Because if you waited too long and you picked teams there, it always
the
took 10 minutes to pick the team. Because you're like, no, you don't get Adam and Josh.
You
can't have Adam and Josh.
Last recess, you had Adam, Josh, and Brian. Brian's the tallest kid out there. Take Jennifer, dude. She's 5'10".
We don't want Jennifer.
Dude, that was and picking teams and then having the whistle blow like right before you play.
The fucking
I remember
worst.
That happening and everybody just losing their fucking minds. Anyway, so
by the way, don't let me forget this story I want to tell you about wrestling. Go.
What was I talking about? 15-minute recesses.
15-minute recesses.
Oh, Smear the Queer.
Smear the Queer.
So that's a quick game. That's why you can knock it out in a 15-minute recess, because it was like get out there, grab a ball, grab 5 or 6 dudes, you know, minimum, and just toss the ball at somebody and start tackling. They run, you tackle them.
I mean,
and then
it's
just
a brutal game. They would never let you play that game right now.
Oh, some kids got laid out, dude.
Oh, yeah. Because do you remember like plotting against somebody? Like, hey, listen, I'm going to give the ball to Adrian, and we're going to fuck him up. I mean, did you ever plot against somebody?
Well, Adrian in our elementary school was a tomboy who's now a lesbian, and she's shout out, Adrian Moore, if you're listening. You're one of the coolest, one of the greatest like high school athletes I've ever seen.
What'd she play?
Volleyball, basketball, softball, and dominated, dude.
Really?
Yeah, but she was, you know, like played tackle football with us and tackled. And she was like not, I mean, she was like as tall as like the tallest kids.
Yeah.
but not
did she
like,
light you up?
Dude, she just had an extra gear, you know?
Yeah.
And anyway, but so it's like, you know, that was the Adrian in our world.
Dude.
But yeah, I mean, you couldn't.
Did you ever, like, did you ever do, so in my elementary school, we did some, you know, just wrestling around and whatever. And I remember there was this sixth grader when I was like in fourth grade who, whenever he wrestled with any of us, he got a boner. But he used to tell us, that's how you can tell you're trying hard.
Oh, Jesus.
So we always wondered, well, like, why aren't we getting a boner? And I remember asking him once, I'm trying really hard. I'm really trying to win. How come, you know, I'm not, what's going on? He was like, you gotta try harder. And I was like, okay. And can I tell you something? I remember telling my brother that story. I was like,
being
hey.
Like, man, I'm not doing it right,
yeah,
man.
And he was like, what? Tell me again what this kid's name is. And he was like, listen, let me tell you something. A boner, which is what that is, a boner. That doesn't mean you're trying hard. I was like, no. He was like, no. It just means he's really happy to be wrestling you. And I was like, yeah, can you imagine if you got a boner every time you tried hard?
I mean,
imagine if that's how it worked?
Every podcast.
Can you imagine if that's how it worked? You were just on stage, just rock hard.
Yeah, dude. Well, speaking of rock hard, I was rock hard for my Seahawks Falcons game, which I don't know if you watched any of it.
I watched all of it. What do you think?
Look, it.
Where does the blame lie for you?
The blame lies not on. Look, I mean, health is a big factor at this stage in the game, you know? Yeah. And we were not healthy. You saw the effects of losing Earl Thomas.
Huge.
And you knew it was, but I think you just, all Seattle fans were like, yeah, but we have to stop thinking, we have to stop talking about it. He's not coming back. Like, it's not, yeah, that's a big deal, but like, you have to be optimistic about the backups. You know, Stephen Terrell and this guy Elliott, who came in for Deshaun Shedd, who's now fucked up his ACL and going to be out for a while. Like, and apparently Sherman was playing with a fucked up knee for a while, which I saw some sort of article about the NFL looking into that. Carroll kept it a secret, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what that is all about, but it was like Pete Carroll might be in trouble for
hiding an
lying about an injury. Is that bad?
Yeah, you have to report every injury. That's a league rule.
Shit. All right.
You have to report.
Because apparently maybe it was more significant than it was.
Well, because look, if somebody knows that his knee's gone, they're going to go after him. That's the reason you have to report everything.
I guess, I mean, Julio Jones is so good. Look, there's a lot of things, if, ands, or buts, that the Seahawks fans are doing right now. The first one is, damn, if that holding call didn't happen on Devin Hester's 79-yard run,
yep. But we
go up 17-7, and that safety doesn't happen, and momentum stays in our favor.
But
and
the holding call
was legit.
Not only was it legit,
okay,
but they missed the hold that Richard Sherman did right in front of the punter. So
yeah, there's also so many things to call. I do hate though the refs in the playoffs. Like there's so much. Like you can't. Like I get even the Chiefs. You know about that hold on their. I guess the calls are that. I mean, look, no player of the opposing team, if a call goes against you, is going to be in favor of it, right?
No.
And you're always, I mean, I was that way. I mean, that's why I got teed up in co-ed, like, Universal Studios, you know, rec league games. And I got in arguments with wheelchair refs in comedy league games.
Did you really?
Yeah, dude, and kicked out and teed up. And, I remember I said something to him in a wheelchair, and I was like, dude, that was out of line and uncharacteristic of who you are as a person. But you get so fired up that you go like, you're not thinking straight.
Yeah.
And you want, you know, you, I don't know. I was able to let down my guard and be like, I know that there's times where I'm a little too physical, but I also was like, let us play more or less, you know, like, but it's, in the NFL, I'm sure that's the same way, but you know, everybody thinks they're always, calls shouldn't go against them, but they want the calls, you know?
I try never to complain or bitch about the refs, because the truth of the matter is,
what a tough job.
And they're moving so quickly.
We're looking at everything in slow-mo. You can't compare.
No, and from an angle they may not have in real time, and everything moves so quickly. And the truth of the matter is, you ask anybody who's played that game, there's holding on every play.
They could call it all the time.
Every fucking play. And so sometimes a call goes for you, and sometimes it goes against you. And that's just the way it is. So you can, I'm not down for blaming refs. I will tell you, and injuries too. Like, look, the Patriots don't have Gronk, arguably the best offensive player in the NFL.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah. It just is what it is.
And the good teams figure out and make it figure work. Out. And look, the Seahawks investing a lot of money in not the offensive line has come back to bite them a little bit the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, again, another thing that's discussed all the time, but then we just go, yeah, but we'll figure it out. But look, we had chances. That was a big momentum shifter. I'm not going to say that was the game.
It was huge, though.
But, a 79-yard run back when you could go up 17-7, and now it's 19-10, and they get the ball back at the half.
Huge.
That was the game right there, dude.
I agree.
Because you're in a stadium with a team that's ready to go, that's healthy as fuck. Matt Ryan had like 10 receivers with 40 yards plus.
I know.
And look, and then you can, you know, easily do the, well, I mean, after that first drive, I was like, oh, this is going to be a game.
I couldn't believe it.
I thought it was going to be a like 40-41
game.
Me too. Like, we're just going to, it's who's stopping who.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back and you think, as a Seahawks fan, you go, God, man, if Tyler Lockett didn't get injured, man, if Earl Thomas didn't get injured, like, man, if we hit, like, we would have won in against Arizona, we would have secured the number two seed, we would have hosted Atlanta. We're 8-1 at home, 3-5-1 on the road. It would have been a different game. You don't know that you win.
Dude, different game altogether.
I think so.
Without a doubt.
Home field advantage.
For Seattle is
home field
crucial.
Advantage in football, I think, is the biggest home field advantage.
No doubt in the world. And for Seattle, it is massive. But the truth is that injuries are so prevalent in the NFL, dude. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, who goes through a season healthy? Nobody.
Nobody.
Now, I'll tell you, at the opposite of your game, and now I was on stage for most of the
Patriots.
Real
quick, I do want to say,
yeah.
Who do you think would have, because here's the thing that like a lot of Seahawks fans now, when they do the shoulda, woulda, coulda, if we had somehow pulled that off, because obviously Green Bay, I mean, unreal. Like that throw by Rodgers, and that, like yeah. We would have hosted them in the NFC Championship game. So to even go, man, if we had beaten Atlanta, like, dude, Rodgers is so hot right now. Yeah. And losing the way they did last time against us, I'm like, dude, I don't know if that happens for us. And I'm a diehard fan, but like that hot coming in to where you lost before, I mean, you're getting the energy of the 12s and a fired up Seahawks team who just went into Atlanta and won. So it's a crazy matchup. But at the same time, our secondary, so beat up. Rodgers threads the needle, doesn't
he? I agree. I think at this point with that secondary and the way Rodgers, dude, that pass that he threw running to his left right before the game-winning field goal.
Can you practice those plays?
Dude, that was on a line 30 yards running to his left as a right-handed quarterback, and he threw it in the only place that dude could have caught it. He makes throws, and look, you know how much I like Tom Brady. I would like to wear his face. Does that sound creepy?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, big fan.
Oh, really? Dude, so Brady fans can concede
Aaron,
and be like,
Rodgers is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. I don't know.
Of all time?
Well, look, if you're going all time.
You have to go by wins.
You have to go by wins and Super Bowls and all that stuff. But if you're asking me. Who
would you take?
Who would I take in a must-win game, especially.
If your children were kidnapped and they said you need to get this ball through that fucking.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And for one reason.
Well, let me finish the scenario.
Okay.
Through that that woman who has the world's largest vagina.
Tom Brady.
It's not even like a goalpost or like a mini goal that they have at Dave and Buster's. It's an enlarged vagina.
I just fear
it's not huge, but it's big enough to hold a football.
But I think it gets bigger for Tom Brady.
And it's from 60 yards away.
I think the vagina gets bigger for Tom Brady and it stays the same.
And it's on top of a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
Well, she's kind of an it if you got an enlarged vagina that a football's going inside of. You're not really a person at that point. You've sacrificed all feelings and personality traits.
I don't know why she's on top of a Cheesecake Factory.
Just to make it tougher.
Really?
This is what... Look,
but why the Cheesecake Factory? Like, is she looking at that giant menu?
Who knows? I don't know what... just to keep her occupied.
Okay, fair enough.
But this is what the kidnappers have to figure out.
I go... If it has to do with the vagina, I think the vagina naturally opens up wider for Brady. I just think...
Oh, did not factor in
instinct,
the vagina reacting.
The vagina sees Brady and is like, we want your football inside of us.
Yikes.
And then looks at Aaron Rodgers' crazy mustache.
He goes, yeah, I'll buy your insurance.
Not too much. But if I...
But look, Rodgers knows that too. And that's probably what fuels a little bit more of the fire. He goes, oh, you got pretty boy over here? He goes, I'm a pretty boy, kind of.
Isn't he like engaged to Olivia Munn? So
she's great.
What can I say about that?
She's a lot of fun.
Whatever. Rodgers to me, it pains for me to say this. It's just like it pains me. I feel like I'm a pretty even-minded sports fan. Like, I didn't understand the big, You know, did you, you know that Antonio Brown filmed Tomlin's halftime speech? Did you see that? And Tomlin was
Wait a minute. I did hear about that, which, by the way, I worked out next to Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, that was amazing, dude. Yeah, yeah. How big a dude is he? Just out of curiosity.
Dude, big? I mean, by my height? Thick?
Yeah, is he?
Dude.
Like a 210-pound thick?
Nah, probably 220.
Well, big dude.
Yeah.
I love...
That was insane. So I was at the Kansas City Improv just real quick, and...
What hotel they put you up at, Kansas City Improv?
The Hilton.
Nice.
And the Airport Hilton. And so that's where all of a sudden I see all these camera crews, and I'm like, that can't be for me.
Hilarious. Your first thought is, oh, fucking look at that. They know how to raise
it. That was
Tim.
A fake thought. That was not
hilarious.
A real thought.
Wait, you should have walked up to him and just started talking to him.
I did pretend to be the kicker to people who were waiting for autographs.
Oh, you should have taken your sunglasses off and walked up to the cameras and be like, I just got a couple minutes, guys. Who's first?
I really should have. And so they go, the Steelers are coming. So I'm like, oh, shit, they're at this hotel. It's dope. I mean, I took elevators with, you know, Antonio Brown and D'Angelo Williams. And anyway, Tomlin walks in. I'm on the elliptical. He gets on the one next to me. I take my headphones. I go, kick their fucking ass tomorrow, man. And he goes, appreciate you, man. I give him a bump. And he goes, hell yeah. And we dapped. And he goes, we'll get to it. I go, yeah, man, I'm going to be there. He goes, all right, I'll see you out there. And I'm like, yeah, well, I mean. Yeah, yeah.
You probably won't see me. I'm going to be a little further
off.
For
sure, but at that point, yeah. It's just kind of, and then I linger for a minute, and then I'm like, all right, headphones are off. We're chatting. I go, are we full on chatting now? Are we chatting and ellipticaling? And then I go,
No.
So I put them back
on. An elliptic chat?
And then when I left, I was like, you know, do I say something when I leave? I was like, nah. But then like when I turn around to like kind of just like catch one more glance of him, like he was looking at me. And so then I just put my like fist out, you know, and then he put his fist up and I go, proud of you, man, because I didn't know what the fuck.
Proud of you?
And he just goes like, all right.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, dude, it was awful. So,
well, I have to tell you, I love
big
Tomlin.
Dudes.
Love Tomlin. I know a lot of people have been, somebody, I got into it with somebody online who called him overrated. I'm like, overrated? The dude's done 10 seasons. I think he's won 7 AFC North titles. I think he's been to 2 Super Bowls, and I think he's been to 4 or 5 AFC Championship games. How can you call that overrated?
No.
Right? But let me just say this about the Patriots game before we get off of it. Dude.
Wait, so we're going Patriots game, then we're going back to Tomlin's speech getting recorded.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that. And then I got to tell you about going to the Steelers-Chiefs game in Kansas City. Arrowhead Stadium, apparently louder than Seattle.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it really sounds like after this.
Wow, that's called a deep tease, everybody. So I'm on stage for most of the Patriots game. I did see the beginning, and I did see Brady throw a pick and all this shit. I'm so glad that I missed the beginning because I watched the highlights, and it really looked like to me, if we were playing a team that had any quarterback other than the one named Brock Osweiler, the Patriots might have been in fucking trouble, dude.
Yeah, it was like 14-13 at one point, I think, in the third quarter, maybe.
Yeah. Now, when I walked out, it was, you know, the Patriots taking control. But I have to tell you, like, this Patriots team makes me a little nervous. But because the defense has no pass rush, and against the Steelers, no
They're
pass rush.
Rolling,
dude. How good is Bell?
He's so good, dude. It was. Look, I have never really watched the Steelers since they beat my Hawks in 2005 in that Super Bowl that everyone, including Pittsburgh fans, say was poorly officiated.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm over it, kind of. Isn't that crazy? That was 12 years ago.
Where were you?
With my girlfriend at the time in New York at her friend's place, and they were all Steelers fans. And, like, I mean, that's what's great about sports. If you really, like, you, and if you're a diehard fan, you... Maybe you can control it and be aware of your surroundings and be like, I'm a guest in somebody's home. It's a nice place. Or do I fucking be me and enjoy the game the way I would enjoy it at my home? Like, I didn't choose to come to this girl's house. She's cool. Her parents were all right, but they were definitely like a little surprised.
Her parents were there?
Yeah, it was her parents' house. Yeah. And like upstate New York. And they were definitely, you know, surprised at how emotional I was. But I mean, you know, her dad was, we were getting drunk. So I fucking whatever. But my girlfriend was like, you need to tone it down. And I was like, this is not going
to
work out.
I have to tell you, it's why I don't watch important games, baseball, with the Red Sox or the Patriots, in public. Because I have Tourette's, and I scream.
Yeah.
And I swear. And I just want to be able to do
it's
that
bad.
In my living room. Yeah, it's not good.
My brother-in-law does that. He won't watch games with my sister because he's like, you don't need to see that. And like, don't. Like, and no. She's like, yeah, I don't want to see that.
Well, I remember in 2003, maybe, when the Red Sox were playing, they were playing the Yankees in the playoffs, and things were not going well, and I was screaming at the TV, and I remember Jakey was, you know, only six at the time, seven, and he came down the stairs, and he goes, and he's sitting there, he goes, "Dad, you're scaring me," and I go, "Well, then you should go back upstairs."
Oh. Yeah. Well, then this it's is not
gonna,
a place for you.
Yeah, this is not going to get any better. It's about to get worse.
But that's why sports are so great. Like, the emotion, like, seeing these Chief fans, like, the contrast, I mean, dude, of winning the Super Bowl in against Denver mm-hmm. in New York, like, mm-hmm. that was one of the greatest days of my life. Like, the emotion, the, like, even when we ran away with it, like, the high just got higher. Like, and because we were so, you know, unfavored, and the whole getting to the game was such a journey, and, like, you just get so invested. And then on the flip side, losing to the Pats, was it the following year? Yeah,
Or was it 2 years?
No, it was the following year.
It was the following year?
Yeah. Was one of the worst days of my life. Sports wise.
How long?
Sports wise,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, let's,
you know,
put that
saying?
Into. Let's put that yeah. in. How long? Because
but, because
how long does that loss stay with you?
Well, that's why it was one of the worst. That a week, legitimately, like, where it affected my day to day.
You know what I
and
would,
that's and I hated that so much. But I go, man, but, like, you gotta love. Had I not loved that hard, I wouldn't have been so riding the high of the Super Bowl win for so long. You know,
you have
but you take
to
take the good with the bad.
You have to put it in a song. Something about how hard you love. I love so hard. I love you so hard, girl. I mean, that is such a good...
Yeah, is it a country or an R&B song?
I think it's got to be an R&B song.
You can't judge me because I love so hard.
I love you so hard.
Nobody loves as hard as I do.
Yeah. I love that saying. I love... But let me ask you another question. I'd love to ask an athlete this question. And I did ask John Ryan this question, and I forget his answer.
Yeah.
I asked him, what sticks with you longer, the high of the win or the low of the loss?
I bet he said the low of the loss.
I think he yeah. did, but I don't remember. But isn't that interesting that that would stick with you? Because
for sure.
you'd want the high to stick.
Yeah.
Ideally, you would want the high to
but,
stick
but
with you.
And that's what keeps you moving. And that's what, I mean, dude, watching the faces on these Chief fans, you know, it's like we were 14 rows
how
back
drunk?
In
how
the middle.
Drunk? How drunk?
Nah, fine. It hit the weed pen a little bit, had a few
Not
drinks.
Not you. The people in Kansas City.
Hammered. And it's freezing. And they're,
yeah.
I mean, just hammered. And Steeler fans around, I mean, it was like the fights I saw before and then after were nuts. But, like, it's also, that stadium's from the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's been refurbished a little bit. But it's classic old football stadium. Where, and that's why, look, it was loud. Like, I think they broke the record that the 12th man holds at CenturyLink.
Yeah.
And I believe it. It got fucking loud. And I was like, man, I don't know how they're hearing anything. And it was awesome. And it was cold, and it was like, it just, it felt like how football should be played. It felt like a coliseum, just very, you know, barbaric. And then we were like, we went up to, you know, Chris Porter's buddy's suite and had some beers and nachos, and then it was like, all right, this isn't so barbaric. But
how much of an asshole and I really did. I love sports. You love sports.
Yeah, I felt bad for the Chief fans, but I also was like, I don't fucking care, man.
No,
that's the,
really?
Again, that's
the
great...
It's part of
the
deal.
It's part of the deal. Some of them just sat... I took pictures of people just sitting in their seats at the end.
It's part of the deal. Yeah. How much of an asshole do you have to be to get in a legitimate fight with somebody over at a football game?
I mean, I don't know. Look...
Were the people who got in fights, were they wearing game jerseys? What percentage of them were wearing a game jersey?
Well, at the end of the fight, the great fight was this
Why
long,
was it so great?
Because it was after the game, and it was a guy, and it was nothing to do with the game. It was a guy trying to. We were, you know, fortunate. We were down close to the field, and people started leaving after they, even before Pittsburgh got that final first down to mm-hmm. ice the game. It was like second down, and people were just in our row, like, they're not going to do it. Peace. We're going to go beat the traffic. Which, by the way, it's like
rough.
A nut house.
But they get that the baseball stadium and the football stadium right next to each other.
It's a shit show. They got to figure that out. But so this guy. When we all leave, now it's taking forever to get out because now everyone's trying to get from the bottom to the top. And this dude just kind of walks by everybody in the row that we're in. We're at the end of the row on the steps waiting to walk up, right?
Yep.
And we waited for about 15, 20 before we even moved. And a dude tries to cut all the way down the row and then go in front of us.
Mm.
And these two big dudes next to me were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they're pretty drunk. I'm like, nah, man, where do you think you're going? Like, why don't you just wait like everybody else, man? We're all getting up. And he goes, and I remember he was like, where do you think you're going? He's like, trying to go up, man. Up seems like the best way to go. And he had beard and long hair. It looked like he was in a shitty, you know.
Allman Brothers cover band?
For sure.
Okay.
And And so they're like, up seems like the good way to go. Not right now. But it looks like you best be wait. Like, anytime somebody's like, you best be something, like, it's not going to be good. Like,
no.
They're saying that basically is a threat.
Yeah.
You best
yeah.
be whatever. It's yeah. not like, you best be having the best birthday ever. Yeah. No, that's not what's coming out of your mouth. It's you best be waiting because you're cutting in line.
You best be having the best birthday yeah. ever.
This guy. So then this guy goes, I'm trying to get up. And then the big dude was like, I don't think so. And they start getting in his face. And he goes, you want to fuck? And he goes, oh, you're ignorant? You're ignorant? And he starts some more shit. And then the mom shoved this dude.
What?
And then this dude.
Wait, whose mom? Whose mom?
Somebody's mom. Short, little, fiery woman.
Yep.
And then I thought this long-haired dude was going to shove her back. And Porter was like, dude, if he did that, I would have even jumped in. Because we were right. It was right next to us. So we're watching this. Trying to like decide how we're gonna have to react.
Involve yourself, yeah.
And then a big dude just comes over and stands right in front of the dude, and then the long haired guy's like, "You're making it weird, man. Your ass is touching me." And then, but at that point, I'm like, "This guy." It was like a 6'6" dude versus this like 5'10" long haired dude, and I'm like, "Yo, man, you're not going anywhere
because yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
dude is going to." Just
punch a hole in your chest and shit in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the long haired dude tried to go around him and he fucking just like just elbowed him back in the chest. Dude falls down and just fucking goes the other way. It was like fucking yelled some shit. Yeah.
Can I tell you, in that story, those were some great R&B lyrics trying to get from the bottom to the top. I mean, that's a great name for an album,
yeah.
trying to get from the bottom to the top.
Well, it's been done.
Because the top.
Sorry, from the bottom, now we're here.
The top seems like the place to be.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, man. Jesus. Come on. Wow. You're just spitting lyrics.
Yeah, man.
You had no idea.
It's called being in the zone.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in the story zone.
Dude, now, the fights that you saw.
Yeah.
Game jerseys or not?
No. Like, I mean, a lot of them. Sweatshirts and shirts. A lot of Chiefs paraphernalia.
And how drunk... Like my,
and they're Chiefs fans. I mean, they were both Chiefs fans.
They got in a fight with a Chief fan. Got
yeah.
in a fight with a Chief
yeah.
fan.
Yeah, but that, no, again, it was non-football related. But there were Steeler fans prior, and a Cowboy fan. That got into a fight with a Steeler
Cowboy fan. What was he doing there?
Just talking shit, wearing a Dak jersey. He kept doing that. He was drunk, and he kept turning around in line, yelling to a dude in a Packers jersey, being like, "Num num 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 num."
Oh, doing the fucking
eat you up, you know. And he kept doing num num num, like whatever. And then I tried to take video of him because it was funny. And his buddy fucked up right behind him goes, "It's fucked up, man. Put that shit down." And then his buddy goes, "No, I want him to tape me. Post this and tell all your friends I'm fucking num 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 num." So, you know, maybe I should
Did
do
you?
It. No, I haven't yet.
Oh, do you have it?
I've got a bunch of video I haven't gone through yet.
I mean, you
got
to post the num 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 guy.
I've got a video of the of grown men. I kind of felt bad about this afterwards because I was like, man, why am I hating on guys for loving something so much?
Yeah.
Which is another great line. Why are you hating on him
for loving so much?
For loving something.
Because he loves so hard.
Yeah. Why am I hating him for loving something so much? So these guys were waiting in line for the Steelers who were walking out of the hotel.
Yeah.
You know, there's grown men who waited all day with stuff. And I videoed this one guy. I go, "Hey, man, who are you most excited to see today?" And he goes, you know, I don't know. I go, "You got that cardboard there. You're going to get that signed? That's, you got cardboard. What? How old are you, man?" And then
he said, "How old are you?"
Yeah. And then he's like, "Hey, hey, 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 come on." And I was like, "Yeah, you're right." And
yeah,
I started to feel bad. And
yeah.
I was like, you know,
I have a rule, and I don't judge other people for it, but I have a rule like if for me to videotape you in public, you have to be doing the craziest thing. But I can't,
or something like an asshole move. Like
yeah,
a guy in a bank once was yelling at a teller.
I can't show your face for whatever reason.
Great, that's good. I taped a guy yelling at a bank teller once. I was just in line and he was being a dick, and I taped it and like posted it, and it got like a lot of traction because people were like, "Yeah, fuck that guy." And it was relatable.
Yeah,
and that was putting a guy on blast. But come on, just to take a guy down a peg because he dedicated his day to that, and it was like, so
yeah.
And I'm glad I got to that point where I could step back from that because, like, you know,
it's like when I see people. I see people post things like they see somebody wearing something weird and they take the picture and they post it. I'm like, listen, man, that dude may not have the best fashion sense, but that's what's in his fucking closet.
Dude.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what he's into. And that's...
Yeah!
It's not affecting you.
No. Now, I have posted pictures of this an older dude who was wearing a cock sock out in public, but that's not a picture I took. It was just a picture going around the internet. Am I sharing too much?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it was...
What was that for?
It just for fun. Just in case you'd never seen an old dude wearing a cock sock.
Great, yeah.
Yeah. And so,
yeah.
I think, by the way, they should have named rubbers cock socks. Something a little better than rubber. Condom? Why condom?
Yeah, where does that come from?
I don't know, but there should have been better, like a dick sweater.
Yeah.
Dick sweater sounds nice.
Does.
Because if you say condom, people are like, I'm not putting fucking wearing a condom. I'm not wearing a rubber. But that if I said, hey, fun.
Also
Adam,
in the heat of the moment, you got a condom.
Like, yeah. If well, I said, Adam, listen, you know what I got for you for Christmas?
What?
I got you a couple dick sweaters.
Yeah, and I'd be like, it's a weird gift, man. This friendship is definitely going to have to be reevaluated in the new year. And then I would say, you know, and then I would say, here's my new email. Don't hit it up for a while.
Yeah. You know, why don't we need a break? We're gonna go a little break.
Wait, I want to ask you: have you gone to places like? So I was at the Kansas City Improv, and you know, we had Andrew Siciliano on about last night, which we'll get on here. And he was like, "You're gonna be in Kansas City, and you're not going to the game." And I was like, "Oh, I didn't even think about that." He goes, "Arrowhead is that an iconic stadium? It's a playoff game.
Yeah,
you go." And I try to go to games even when I like. I'll be in St. Louis in March, and I'm hoping to hit a Cardinals game.
Yeah,
hopefully it falls in the same. But that's just regular season. But that's also like at a historic stadium with an historic team and fan base. But
you'll have a better chance catching a Blues game than a Cardinals game.
Oh, really?
It won't start till April, first week of April for baseball.
Wow. I had my head in spring training mode. That's right.
Yeah, first week of April. But you might be able to see a Blues game.
Is that hockey?
Yeah. Hockey? No, not so much. No. It's fun live. And they like.
I know it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, why not?
They don't do afternoon games, though, do they?
I'm not, off the top of my head, that familiar with the Blues schedule. Yeah. I know you're probably surprised by that.
I am.
But I think they might do a Saturday afternoon game.
Where have you gone to and then added onto your trip, like, oh, now I'm going to go do that game? Or
I think you
try to do that a lot.
Yeah, you know, I try to, because you and I, in our profession, this is our window. And so why not take advantage of whatever the fuck we're... Like, I like to do minor league games a lot. I like to throw out first pitches at minor league games. I've done that. You can do it. When you go from spring to fall, just look what's near. Those minor league teams love having you out.
No shit.
And you get the great weird
hat.
Why
the fuck not?
Oh, it's a fucking... And it's the weird
cool
mascot.
Too,
And
it's
yeah.
very like 80s baseball
it's,
movie.
It's Bull Durham.
Yeah.
And so it's really, really fun. Now, for me, I'm a huge baseball fan, and I'm a huge football game fan. You're not going to get me out of the hotel to go see a basketball game.
Wow.
Not even remotely. I'll watch it, but you're not going to get me out of the hotel.
You wouldn't go to a finals game, huh?
Finals game. But I'm not going to a college game unless it's in the tournament. Like, same thing. But I'll go
That's
see,
fine, though, but you didn't
I'm gonna
play.
I'm going to go see Grayson Allen play. I love Grayson Allen.
Yeah, he is. He's college basketball needs guys like that. Especially
That's why.
White privilege. Douchebags.
I just love him because I think he'll grow out of it, and I don't want to judge a 20-year-old kid. And I hope he matures.
How many times did he trip before Coach K was like
3?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what are you gonna do?
I don't know, man. He's playing. How? And he's dope, right?
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's weird.
He'll
go pro.
He'll
definitely go pro, and I know he's probably. You know, I probably think he's better than he is because he's white, and
maybe he's trying to up his stock.
By being a dick? He's like,
yeah, I don't know.
I think people hate him more than they hated Christian Laettner. Who's your most hated sports figure of all time?
Well, who do I think is, or who do I hate?
Who do you hate more than
A-Rod.
Me too, dude.
Just because, because of... Actually, that's not true, because when he left, we had the greatest team we've ever had.
Yes.
Actually, that's not true at all. The money that opened up for us to go get Dan Wilson, Mike Cameron, Mark McLemore... fucking John Allroad, Brett Boone.
Holy shit. We
could pay for Brett Boone steroids.
I know, the little extra for him. That dude went from 140 pounds to 210.
Who was it? My buddy said a friend of his was played for the Mariners, and he was like, yeah, they all, like, you know, when they came in that spring, and everyone was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
And he was like, what's up, guys? And they're like, okay, let's just act like this is normal, big arms.
Yeah, like, he was this scrawny little dude, and he came back.
Dude, he had 40. I'll look it up right now. He had in 2001. He had like 42 jacks and like 128 RBIs.
He was crushing. This was back before Sammy Sosa was white. And what do you think about the Hall of Fame now? People, it looks like they're going to vote Bonds and Clemens in. You okay with steroids people being in?
Not at all.
You're not okay?
No way.
Okay, and let me ask, where's the line? People who you think took steroids, or think people who have been proven to take steroids? Because Bonds and Clemens have not been proven to take steroids. Although you would have to be basically partially retarded think they did.
They both played so dominantly, so old, and I just don't think that's humanly possible.
And Barry Bonds' head grew.
In basketball, I think it is. Jordan, like, yeah, guess what? He was that good to still drop 40 at 40.
Yes.
That's basketball.
Yep.
And Look, Kobe did it.
Yep.
How old was Kobe?
He dropped 60 in that last game, right?
At how 80? Old? No, 60. Yeah, 62.
38, or wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. yeah. So basketball, like, you can pull it off. You know, Favre almost.
Baseball, I mean, you can't. Have you? I mean, look.
No, man. That's,
to hit a baseball in 0.8 seconds, in time, 0.8 might even be too long.
Yeah.
And to decide where it's going to be and to square up a round ball on a round bat.
You need a little bit of help from the juice guys.
At 40?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Barry Bonds' head grew. Like, your head doesn't grow when you're 40.
No. It's cheating. It's, I mean, look, dude, you know.
But they were all doing it. So how do you decide who was doing it and who wasn't? And so Mike Piazza's already in. You tell me Piazza wasn't doing it? Piazza's hitting 390-yard bombs to right field?
I don't care about Piazza. Bonds broke the record, you know?
Yeah.
Clemens.
Both all-time greats.
I'd put Clemens in over Bonds, though. You know what I think we should do is put one in.
Oh, why?
One steroid guy.
But why Clemens over Bonds? Bonds was the best baseball player outside of Griffey that I've ever seen. Not even close. And if you take away the steroids, I say that. With the steroids, Bonds was better than Griffey.
A buddy of mine told me that he was... God, who the fuck was it? And he said he was at the table, some baseball guy. Fuck.
With Griffey, talking about...
With Griffey, Bonds, and somebody else. Was it you?
And Bonds was talking... No, it wasn't me, but I know what you're talking about. And Bonds was talking about how he was fucking mad...
That Sosa was crushing it.
Sosa and McGuire.
And Sosa came out of nowhere and was like...
And he was like, those people think those guys are better baseball players than me, and he couldn't fucking take it. And Griffey was just eating a steak like, I know I'm the best, so I don't need your shit.
So I'm going to eat this steak and probably go hit two jacks tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking crush it. But Bonds' ego and Clemens' ego, same thing. They could not... stand the fact that guys who weren't naturally as talented as them.
All right, so you're pro steroid guy getting in, which means I guess those aren't on your list of athletes you hate. Who do you hate the most?
A-Rod.
Because
I just think he's the general douche.
Yeah.
I think he's the most disingenuous. You know, listen, man.
So you're talking about off the field. You don't hate what he's done to your Red Sox.
Fuck that guy.
He was almost a Red Sox.
I'm so glad he wasn't. Dude,
you wouldn't have rooted for him.
No. I used to be a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones came along, and I was like, I can't root for that team ever again.
Wow.
Listen, dude, A-Rod, okay, think about this. Think about all the things that were being said about him in the last year of his career. The last 2 years. Did you ever hear one of his teammates or ex-teammates stick up for him?
No.
That's telling, dude.
You're right.
That is so telling as to what type of piece of shit that dude is. And listen... To lie repeatedly, and then to have a picture, a painting of yourself as a centaur in your house.
No, he doesn't.
Google right now, Alex Rodriguez centaur painting in his house.
If people could see the pointing you were doing in unison
as
with
I
centaur.
That's like that time I got beat up and the dude talked to me every time he hit me.
Oh, wait, how?
Oh, I never told you the story when I punched this guy as hard as I could in a bar, and he just turned his head, and he looked back at me, and he said, son, you're going to have to do better than that. I didn't tell you that story?
No.
Oh, dude, Adam, he...
First of all, let me just tell you that I'm looking at A-Rod half... Wait, centaur, it looks like a horse.
But it's with his head.
Yeah, it's with his torso.
Yeah.
Why is this... Why am I looking at this?
Because that's in his house.
No, it's not.
It's in his house, dude.
What?
It's in his house. He's got that in his house.
Fuck, dude.
Did you see the article?
No.
I mean...
All right, that's...
Does that make you like him more or less?
I mean, less, but like...
But kind of more.
Kind of more because you're like... good. You're committing full douche.
100%.
Like, that's insane.
Douche.
Like, I kind of wish I was like there when he bought it or had it made.
Had it? Oh, well, he posed for it.
Well, where's the moment that he goes like? So he's posing, and they're like, "Dude, this is gonna be a great shirtless cover for Sports Illustrated. Finally, you're bearing it all, A-Rod." He goes, "Actually, if you guys could send that photo to me, just crop the body." They go, we'll send you the negatives for sure after we used it for the cover of Sports Illustrated. No, I'm actually not even thinking cover. Oh, what? You got to, well, you know what? We love to collab here at Sports Illustrated. So what are you thinking? You know those bottoms of horses?
What? Do you have any horse pictures?
I'm sorry. Do you have any horse pictures you could Photoshop the top of me onto, then blow it up and put it in my alley? I mean, lobby.
All right. I'm going to be the photographer. You be A-Rod.
I just did it.
I know. We're going to. You did just do it, didn't you? I was eating my edible.
This is nuts, and I can't fucking believe it. Oh, that's reason enough to hate him.
But so I don't particularly like him. None of his ex-teammates really ever stuck up for him. Mariano Rivera said a couple of semi-nice things. Jeter did what he was supposed to do. But none of them. And that is telling for a guy who was in the league for 20 years. Nobody he played for on the Rangers ever said, hey, good guy. Nobody ever played for on the Mariners said, hey, good dude. A disruptive force. I was so angry. You know, when as much as I hate the Yankees, when they were winning with Posada and Jeter and Bernie Williams and Rivera,
yes,
and Paul O'Neill,
yes,
and Brocious,
yes,
I couldn't be mad because they all played baseball the right way and they were kind of good dudes and they were a team. And I hated them, but I didn't hate them. I fucking hate A-Rod. And the fact that he won a World Series and it kind of validates him as a fucking player pissed me off more than anything. The only time I've ever been madder at a result of a game was watching Ron Artest sink that fucking three-pointer against the Celtics in the championship.
That was a moment you hated, not a guy.
Yes, that was a moment I hated. That moment, because, yeah, was just, that was a tough one.
Now, I'd say right now, arguably, the most hated player in sports is LeBron James.
Undeserved. Undeserved!
I agree.
What has he ever done except been great, played the game the right way, and been...
He needs to stop flopping, though.
That was terrible. You can't be 6'8", 350
pounds. Especially against the Warriors and Draymond Green, which you have like a very hostile relationship with. Like, you're fueling his fire too, man. That guy is an emotional guy. And dude, the Warriors are good, man. I watched them. They look like the closest thing I've seen to the 93-94 Seattle Supersonics when we had Derek McKee, Ricky Pierce, Vincent Askew, fucking Kemp, Payton, Michael Cage for the win.
I'm gonna
Sam
go ahead
Perkins
and say they're
still
they're
fresh
a little
off
better.
The Lakers.
They're a little better than
whatever, dude.
How high does Sam Perkins look all the time?
Yeah, dude. He was high before games, dude. I was talking about this with my buddy from Seattle the other day. I go, when we do get the Sonics back, it's gonna be so great because every night for that first year, like, I might move home for a year and go to every game because every night is some other cool promotional night or jersey retirement or montage video from the, like, somebody came up with, it was Xavier McDaniel, like, X-Men, like, X-something? Ah, God,
X-Men?
Man. No, it was some sort of, like, his nickname was the X-Men. It was, like, the X-Men... Fucking!
I loved Xavier McDaniel, by the way.
I don't know, Lunchables fucking giveaway. I don't know. It was something.
An X-Men lunchbox?
But like Sam Perkins, like, right? Like free blunt wraps because it's legal in Seattle. Like a Kemp jersey retire thing. Maybe Dellip Shrimp comes out, shoots the t-shirt guns into the crowd. Like, or old UW jerseys that he wore. Like every night you get a different, like George Carl fucking, you know, fucking, I don't know.
Gary Payton comes back and just talks shit to your face.
Dude, yeah. You have so many opportunities.
Yeah.
So that being said, LeBron is flopping way too much, and it's obvious, and it's like, if you're going to do it, you got to be good at it. Like, you'll be Rodman good.
Here's my thing with LeBron flopping. And here's, I hate it, and I hate the flopping. The only reason I justify it.
Yes.
And for him, not for a lot of the guys, not for my boy Isaiah Thomas, who is ripping up the fourth quarter, yeah. Okay?
That's it. My boy from UW.
Right, dude.
He's unreal.
A stud.
I love that he's become a superstar.
A stud.
Yeah.
But this dude is a guy who's 6'9", 260, and when he doesn't flop, he doesn't get the call. He gets fouled hard, and when he doesn't flop like a soccer player, he never gets the call. So my thing is, I hate those Shaq rules. I hate the fact that if you're big, you're allowed to get hit harder. A foul is a foul. A foul is anything that alters the shot, alters the play.
Yeah.
So if you maybe reffed him correctly, maybe he'd stop flopping like a little bitch. And that flop yesterday, it really looked like when he was laying on the ground, I'm like, oh, I think he's playing dead. Like, he didn't move.
Yeah, that was kind of
bullshit. One arm was above his head and one was down by his side. Like, he was legitimately dead.
You have to be good at all, but you have to be good at flopping and you have to be good at the fall down and to stay on the ground. Like soccer players. Like,
yeah.
Some of them are really good and some of them just like... But again, in real time, you feel like you can make it look real. And then you see it in slow-mo and you're like, oh, that was bad.
That was the same with that. Actually, in real time?
You just can't throw your head back so far. You can't cock it back. You almost need to. But guess what? You're afraid to actually let your face hit. So you feel your legs and your torso going into the guy.
Yeah.
You feel like that's going to connect. So you over-anticipate the head. You need to let your head fucking actually bonk into his shoulder and then fall down. But then you're really hurt.
So that
negates the flop.
Do you want Draymond Green on your team?
Over who?
If you have a team, Because I've heard people say, well, I wouldn't want him on my team. I would love to have him on my team.
You want, A, I think every team needs an emotional, like, a guy who talks shit, a guy who's kind of a bitch, just tough.
Every team needs a guy.
He kicks dudes in the dick.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, guess what? I want him over or not. You know, I don't want to be the dick that gets kicked. I want to be the dick kicker. Good night, everybody.
By the way, if that's not a t-shirt, I mean, that should be like a bumper sticker.
I don't want to be the dick
that gets kicked. I want to be the dick kicker.
Dude, that unfortunately sounds like fucking Trump America.
I think that's our first t-shirt, dude.
Wow.
I don't want to be the dick that gets kicked. I want to be the dick
kicker. Tweet at Good Call Pod.
Yeah.
Yo, if there's any Photoshop designers out there, make a Photoshop.
Send it to us.
With Good Call Pod, I don't want to, like the quote, I don't want to be the
dick that gets kicked. I want to be the dick kicker. That is a great one.
Yeah. Not our faces on it, just Good Call Pod.
I would love to have our faces
on the back of it.
Yeah. And maybe, I mean, I don't know how deep they want to get into it, but like maybe.
The shirts have to be like, I think like athletic, like the.
Yeah, I think so.
The baseball undershirts type stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like the three quarter.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a great, because in life in general, that's the rule you want to live by.
Yes.
I don't want to be the dick that gets kicked. I want to be the dick kicker.
Thank you.
By the way, the dick kicker, also not a terrible nickname. Hey, my buddy, you know what's coming over tonight? The fucking dick kicker.
Dick kicker, yeah.
Oh, the dick kicker.
Everyone sticks around to see what that guy looks
like. Oh, fucking. If I told you my buddy the dick kicker's coming over, would you stick around to see who it was?
You have to.
What do you, if I said the dick kicker's coming over.
That's what I just said. Boy, that weed is really just taking you back a couple steps.
If I said the dick kicker's
coming
over.
You're like Groundhog. Is that weed called Groundhog Day?
I wish. It's called Tomorrow Weed because I want to be high tomorrow.
Is it really?
No, but I wish it was. if you had to draw a picture of what you thought the dick kicker looks like. Big dude, little dude. I think he's a little dude. Little dude. Wiry
dick kicker. He's in a movie you put a mullet on.
I think he's vascular. He's really vascular.
Guess what, dude? You put a mullet on. I almost said Ben Kingsley. Who's the guy? J.K. Simmons. You put a mullet on J.K. Simmons, and you fucking. It's like
he's a dick kicker.
It's Meet Joe Dirt, but it's a drama.
The dick kicker. Give me the one man. Give me the movie trailer for the dick kicker.
All right, let me find some instrumental music.
Oh shit. So, but you would want to, I would want to have Draymond on my team too, because I think every team needs a guy, every successful team needs a guy on the team that everybody else hates except for the people who root for that team. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody needs a Rodman. You hated Rodman unless Rodman was on your team.
Yeah, but you need that guy.
You need that guy. You need the guy who can get into the other team's head. And by the way, let me just also give one more time. The Warriors are amazing. LeBron, no flop, but I will tell you, I think that if J.R. Smith can come back and they can figure out how to use Kyle Korver, I still don't hate them in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
Now, Durant's defense has been a game changer. That dude has somehow figured out how to play defense over the last year or so, and that's really upped his game. He blocked LeBron a couple times. Have you noticed LeBron? He's been to the finals so much and so deep in the playoffs. That dude has got to have played at least a full extra season. Doesn't it feel like?
Oh yeah.
And so I think you can tell it on his lift. His lift just isn't the same.
Dude, you can't. I mean, he goes. How many seasons has he gone? Playoffs, finals, Olympics, regular training camp, regular season,
playoffs, finals. So the last he did 4 in Miami and 2. So he's been to 6 consecutive.
Give me a break, dude.
Six consecutive finals.
He might be done soon.
How could you not, like, how could you not
he's
be?
He's going to pull a Durant, maybe, and go to, like, what if he goes to Golden State?
Oh, that would be a dick move.
Would it?
Fuck that. Dude, fuck that. He already went to Miami. You can't join the dick kicker.
He shows up wearing a dick kicker shirt. He goes, I'm tired of getting the dick kicked.
LeBron and the dick kicker? Yeah. You know, they should also
LeBron
make a toy.
And the dick kicker.
You should make your toy so when you hit the dick kicker on the head, his leg comes up. The dick kicker. Here we go.
That's not
at all what I thought.
This summer, what happens when a couple of friends go east for the summer and work at their dad's boat shop?
Let's go work in the east this summer. I'm sorry.
Fucking Macaulay Culkin. Is young Tommy looking for a way out?
boy, life has just sure gotten rough being eighth grade president. I'm hoping to go east and get some pussy.
What is this music?
Hold on.
J.K. Simmons as
wait, what's his name? Ronnie Dick Kicker?
Dick Kicker?
No, he's got to have a name, and then he's the Dick Kicker.
Derek McNulty.
J.K. Simmons as Derek McNulty.
You guys want a job?
By the way, that was really fucking good.
What?
That was his voice.
By the way, this is the worst trailer ever.
Yeah, it's rolling on a little long.
J.K. Simmons.
You guys need a job?
The trailer just does the exact same line.
Macaulay Culkin and NBA on TNT analyst Ernie Johnson.
Hey, yo. Isn't it weird that I sound like Gumby?
In The Dick Kicker.
Jesus. All right. Tune in next week when I try again. That was Take Me Home Instrumental by Phil Collins.
I have to tell you, I was expecting a more ominous, almost
I know.
Drama.
But my head went Phil Collins, and my heart said, Take Me Home.
One man.
By the way, another great line. My head said Phil Collins, but my heart said Take Me Home.
You're killing it with... my idea that I want to talk to you about. Remember I said I got an idea for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it post-show?
I mean,
this is quite the teaser.
I'll float it to you, and then we can talk about a post-show. Or we should just talk about a post-show.
Talk about post-show. And we'll talk about it on the next show.
Which would be during show. I should probably stop talking
about tomorrow weed is all about today. See ya.
See you, everybody.
Good call.